Billy Graham continues on. Same thing with Daniel. He continued on and on. Daniel chapter 6, you probably heard this in school about the reading of the Daniel and the lion's den. Most kids, we remember this about all of our life, about Daniel and the lion's den. Well, we'll see what happened, the decree of old Darius. Now, you see, he was the next king. Remember the image of gold when Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold in that image in chapter 2? And then we find out it was replaced with the Medes and Persians, the arms of silver. Well, now we have the Medes and the Persians. Old Darius, he is a king now, the Medes and the Persians. The most powerful nation as known world at that time was this king that we're reading about. More powerful than any man today. He was the powerfulest man on the face of this earth at that time. He had such a big empire that he asked 120 princes to be over his empire and three presidents to be over them. And Daniel was the one who was over them. So we see the promotion of Daniel at his 90 years old. You see, when he was a young boy brought into captivity, him and his three Hebrew friends, you see, they purposed in the heart that they may not eat the same food that old king did. A purpose in the heart, they wouldn't defile their God. And he's getting old now. You know what? We're getting old too. Did y'all know it? And I think about myself, when I read this, it kind of made me ashamed of myself. I'm not quite 90. This man was over and then it's 90 years old and he kept on going. But it says, you know, in 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but through the outer man perish. Yet the inner man is renewed day by day. You know what that tells us? Daniel was getting young. You know what it tells us? Although the outward appearance, we're getting older and older. But we should, our spirit should be getting younger and younger in the Lord. An excellent spirit was found in him, this man Daniel. Boy, I tell you what, he'll make us ashamed of ourselves. I'm telling you, this old man, he's young in spirit. He don't grow old and bitter as some people does, you know. I hope I don't grow old and bitter and cantankerous as I see some old people does, you know. You know, God just continues on with old Daniel, and in his retirement years, we would think, you know. In their latter years, sometimes we think we're getting too old to do anything. We're going to lay it down, let somebody else do it. There's always a time that you can do something for the Lord. You know, you can witness for the Lord. I think about Brother Vernon. He's always witnessing for the Lord. He's that old rock, and he's 96 years old. Well, old John Wesley was preaching at 89 years old. He was still preaching. W.A. Criswell, Dallas, Texas, for a pastor for over 25 years. In a conference in Jacksonville, Florida, First Baptist Church, 89 years old. He was asked to speak. He had to have two men to hold him up, help him up to the pulpit. And old W.A. Criswell, all those old Bible scholars that was there, all those freshmen out of their seminary school and seminar school that tell you to throw your old King James Bible away. All our Southern Baptist church will point you away from this King James. But old W.A. Criswell stood up and says, I'm opening up my King James Version. Not a sound was heard. Not a sound. Then he began to preach at that age of 89 years old. God can use you regardless of your age. I hope I can remember that. Don't you? I hope I can remember that. God use you regardless of your age. You know where the power is at this church? It's not in the preachers. It's not in the deacons. Not in our Sunday school teachers. You know where the power is of our church? In our senior citizens. In our senior citizens. The prayer and the power they have. Don't get old and sour. You know, a lot of people get old and sour in their older days. I know I've probably been into the nursing home more than the last 2 years than I've been all my life. And you know, they really amaze me, some of those people out there. They really, really amaze me. Some of them kind of honoring cantankerous. Did y'all know that? When they get older. I go out there and about 5 o'clock, they roll them all out in the hall, get ready to go down there and have their dinner. And they give them their medicine, their shots, and they check them out and roll them all out there, you know. And this, been out there a pretty good while. This one lady, you know, both of them have to be fed. They can't even feed themselves. One lady, she sleeps all the time. They roll her out in a wheelchair. She puts her head down. She sleeps all the time. And then they roll another lady right side of her. And this lady, she don't know who she is, but she just sits there and she says, help me. Somebody help me. And the old lady lifts up her head. Shut up. laid her head back down. Before long, help me, help me. I said to shut up. Back down again the third time. She said, I said to shut up. She said, well, what you gonna do about it? She said, I'll slap you. And that lady that said help, she said, yeah, when you do it, I'll knock you out of that wheelchair. Neither one of them could even feed herself. Well, they kind of cantankerous sometimes. Don't you hope you don't get cantankerous when you get older? I hope I don't get cantankerous when I get older. All right, a persecution now by these old princes. Now, you know the jealousy is a cruel, cruel thing. You know, a lot of us have that old jealousy, that jealousy around the world. These people was really jealous of old Daniel. Now, he was head of everybody. I mean, they was jealous of him. Like today, you know, today in business, if you're successful, you know what? People be jealous of you, and they will criticize you. You know, if you fail and don't succeed, they're still jealous and be critical of you, either way you go. You take a football coach, you know, whenever they are winning games, you know what people do? They'll be critical of him. Either way you go, people are going to be critical, and they're going to be jealous of you. Well, they was that same way about old Daniel, so they saw in verse 4, they're going to start investigating him. See if they can find anything wrong with Daniel. They got the CIA and the FBI and ACLU after him. We're going to find something wrong with this man, Daniel. We're going to look at his life. And they searched his life and looked at his life, and they couldn't find nothing worthy of criticism or condemning him. Would you like for someone to examine your life every day for a week? Maybe God himself would say, we're going to pick out someone of this church and we're going to examine their life for a week. And next Sunday, all week, even their thoughts, we're going to put it up on the board. How many of you raise your hand would like that to happen to you? Anybody? That's what they've done to Daniel. I wouldn't want it to happen to me. You know what I do? I'd let you down. You know, we'll let each other down. But old Daniel, they couldn't find anything wrong with him. No fault, it says in verse 4. On his fault, we found that him, he come to church 3 times a week. That's the only thing we could find wrong with him. That he went to church 3 times a week. So they thought they would switch. Instead of trying to find some fault with Daniel, which they know they couldn't, because they knew him. He's been there for years and years. So they thought they'd switch. Couldn't find no fault with Daniel, so they thought they'd find some fault with the weakness of the king. And they did. Because they knew Daniel was too religious. He had too much God in him. But verses 6 through 9 tells us that they went to the king and they found the weakness of the king. And now, king, now we have thought that you're going to honor you in such a great way. If you make a decree, if you will make a law for 30 days that nobody can pray, nobody can go to church, nobody can praise, nobody can do anything, you're going to be God for 30 days. You're going to be God. No other God. Nobody else can pray to no other God. Boy, that sounds pretty good to him, you know. O king, I'm going to be God. In verse 8 it says, now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which alter not. That means that law was so strong, even the king himself, once he signed that decree, that law, he could not even change it. There was no loopholes that the lawyers could find. When he signed it, it had to be carried out. Oh, that sounded good. 30 days. Now, but you think about this. 30 days, no prayer in that land. 30 days today, no prayer for someone that's sick or pain. No prayer for a wayward child. No prayer for that family that's tore all apart. No prayer for direction in life. Now, if that law was passed in this country that we're living in today, I don't believe a lot of people really be upset a whole lot about it. They wouldn't a lot of people be upset a lot about it. Just think about that. No Wednesday night. Now that would shake up a bunch of people across this country, wouldn't it? If that law was passed. No church activities. Close the door of the church all across America. No prayer. How about it, members, for 30 days? No way to get in touch with heaven. No church. Maybe what happened, no church on Sunday night, no church on Sunday morning, no Bible study, no learning about Jesus Christ. But did you know one day that's going to happen? You know, a lot of people wants to close the doors on Wednesday night. They vote to close the doors on Wednesday night across this country. They vote to close the doors on Sunday night. They vote to close the doors on Sunday morning across this country. One day, that's going to happen. One day, that's going to happen. Every time that we don't come and worship our Lord, you know what we're doing? We're voting to usher in more evil all the time. Because one of these days, all the doors are going to be closed. The church is not going to be here. At the third chapter of the book of Revelation, talking about the church, but chapter 4, verse 1, all doors will be closed. There will be no more gospel church on the face of this earth. And then people see what ushering in that's alive at that time, what it really means. Because the church will be called up and out of this world. The face of the Antichrist is growing all the time right now. What would happen? What would happen? Because you see what we're doing on Wednesday night, what we're doing on Sunday night, what we're doing on Sunday, what Christians are doing is holding back the wrath of God upon the world that you and I are living in. But when he says, come forth, Holy Spirit of God, with my people, in the book of 1 Thessalonians, we're studying on Wednesday night, talking about the rapture of the church. When that happens, what will happen? We'll find out. I hope I'm not here, don't y'all? The Bible says I won't be here. No praying, no singing. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sin and grief to bear. What a privilege on Wednesday night to lift these people up in prayer. Sweet hour of prayer that called me from. There's a lot of world of care. Did y'all know that? You know, one thing I think we do not do enough of, we don't do enough of praying. Including me, number one. Pronouncement of this, O king, 30 days, no praying. Verse 9. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now we find, really now, the devotion of Daniel when this took place. Verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his window being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knee three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before time. Now, Daniel could have rationalized this. 30 days ain't very long. I don't have to go to my window where they can see me. 30 days, I mean, it really ain't no big deal. I could go down in the cellar. You know, I could just wait to sleep at night when all the lights and the candles are out. You see, no one will really know when I pray. But you see, Daniel chapter 6, verse 11 says, these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication for his God. They found him praying. He was an open window Christian. He didn't mind the world letting him know that. He didn't mind coming to church. He didn't mind praying. He was an open window Christian, praying three times a day. Verse 11 says they caught him praying. You know why that's still a big thing this day and time we live in, caught him praying. There was a football coach with young kids on television not long ago. You know, he had them all kneeling down. He wasn't praying. A whole bunch of them just praying themselves. You know what? The Civil Liberty Union, you know what? You know who supported that, you know, reading this here anyway. But anyway, they caught him. Boy, we caught him in school allowing his kids to pray. Boy, wasn't that a terrible thing? I want to get the coach fired. I want to get that coach fired. Boy, that was a terrible, terrible thing to call him praying. Lord of mercy, that was terrible. And that's where it's come to in this country. Did you know teachers right now today, you teachers today, you can get in your class and start kneeling down and pray for your class every day. You know what? The Civil Liberty Union would be against Pierce County School before long. Did y'all know that? They'd be against you. If they caught you praying, that's a big sin today to be caught praying. I hope y'all understand the reason the Civil Liberty Union is in our country this day and who brought it forth and who supported it. The reason is here. It's a God-hating, Christ-rejecting organization of lawyers. And I'm not going to tell you what party put it together. But old Daniel, he had a posture in his prayer. He said on his knees. Now in the Bible, there's no posture of praying. They prayed standing up. They prayed laying down. They prayed sitting down. They prayed all kind of ways. There's really no posture in the Bible to tell you what the posture that you have to pray. But you see, we honor God a lot when we come to this altar and we kneel in prayer. I mean, that's just honoring God. But there's no, really no posture in the Word of God that tells you how to pray. You ever pray with your eyes open driving down the road? If you're driving through Atlanta, you better. The quick or the dead, whichever one I'm going to be, but you better be praying. Any posture. But he had a posture of on his knees. Where's your posture? Do you have a posture when you pray and when you get into your prayer closet? But he had a posture. But also, you see that he had a purpose in his prayer. Now, what is the biggest purpose he had in his prayer? You know what it was? Thanking God. Thanking God. You know, we come together on Wednesday night. The biggest thing we do is we thank God. Well, that's a big thing, thanking God. Do you thank God? Or your time and you tell it. Do you thank God? Well, he was just thanking God. God, the power flows through this man. Now, verse 12 and 13, they said they caught him praying. They caught him praying. What a scandal. Same thing today. They catch you praying. That would be a scandal in some places to catch you praying. Mothers and fathers, if your children ever caught you praying for them? Are you the mother and father to be praying and let them know that you're praying for them? It will have a lasting impact upon their life to pray for your children each day. When they found him, they went and told this king what they had found. They had just passed a law. He broke the king's law. No one done that. He had a power of life and death. But he broke it. In verse 14 it says, "Then the king, when he heard these words when they come and told him, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and the labor till the going down the sun to deliver him." Man, when he heard this thing, it displeased him because he knew Daniel had done nothing wrong. He knew he had been caught. But even the king himself could not change this law. It was wrote, and no one could change it. He went to his lawyers. The lawyers couldn't find no loophole. And it really displeased him. But you see, where he could not deliver Daniel, God could. God could. No way for the king to, but God did. And Daniel was vindicated. In verse 18, you know what it said? "Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither was there instrument of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him." Boy, he had a sleepless night. Thinking when they throwed old Daniel in that lion's den, what was really going on with that man of God had never done anything wrong to anybody, always done good, and really saved that kingdom several times. And he had a sleepless night thinking about old Daniel in verse 14. But verse 18, as you skip on down, and the king, as he went and went to sleep, and no music was there, nothing for him to eat, but he went to sleep there at night. It was a hard time for him to do, but he just got to think about Daniel. But you see, Daniel was elevated in verse 18. And 19, "The king rose very early in the morning and went haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentation voice unto Daniel. And the king spoke and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continuously able to deliver thee from the lions? Then Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever." God elevated him. You see, old Paul, in his writings, 2 Timothy 4 and 17, it says, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by the preaching might fully known, and that all the Gentiles might fear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of lions." Paul speaking. Now, Paul never went, as we know of, into a literally den of lions. But Paul went into a lot of den of lions to be stoned to death, tried to be killed, shipwreck, and many other lions then was Paul thrown in. But he said, you know what? The Lord delivered him out of that den of lions. In verse 22 of Daniel 6, "My God sent the angels and have shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me far as much as before him. Innocency was found in me, and also before thy king have I done no hurt. He found that the angels of the Lord protected him. As I said, you know, you are liable to go through some lion den yourself. You see, you may have some sickness in the lion's den, but the Lord will deliver you if you're a child of God one way or the other. You know, you may have a lot of different problems, family problems. God will deliver you. Verse 23, it says, Then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. Now, I'm going to tell you what, that goes a long ways, people, you believe it or not. Do you have time for God? And then listen what happened in verse 24. And the king commanded that they brought those men which had accused Daniel. You see, one of these days, they're going to be a judgment time. One of these days, they're going to be a judgment time. And they cast them into the den of lions. Then, and it says their children and their wives and the lion mastery of them, and breaking their bones in pieces, or even there came out of the bottom of the den. Listen, their wives, their children, and their family was thrown into the lion's den. Did you know what a lot of mothers and fathers are doing? They're having their children thrown in the lion's den. There's a lot of family members that's throwing their children into the lion's den, because they don't have time for God. They don't have time for the things of God. There are other things more important on Wednesday night. More things more important on Sunday night. It don't matter. We're doing pretty good, but I'm going to tell you, judgment day is not here yet. And those same people that criticize what you do on Wednesday night, those same people, ride back to, don't have no time for God. One of these days, there'll be a judgment time. There'll be a den of lions. And at that time, there'll be no God to deliver them. There'll be no deliverance from them. No way to help them in the experience of life. Have no worship, no service, no service, no protection, no deliverance. A den of hell awaits a many a person. Today, you have a choice. God's going to give you a choice of which line you're going to choose. Which line are you going to choose for you and your family? 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking who he may devour. Whole families are being devoured by the adversary of the devil. Whole families, they will not, they are set and determined, they will not worship and serve Jesus Christ. But you see, if you want to, you can choose another line. The line from the tribe of Judah. If you choose that line, you'll have deliverance. Deliverance from all of your difficulties ultimately. Going through sickness, you'll be delivered no matter what type of sickness you have if you choose that line. One of these days, you'll be brought out of that lion's den of sickness. One of the days, you'll be brought out of the problem that you're having. No matter what it is, God will deliver you out of that lion's den if you choose a lion of the tribe of Judah. And you know what all this whole chapter is about? Staying in the will of God. Christians, are you staying in the will of God? Because if you don't stay in the will of God, you will take down your own hedge. You will take down your own hedge. And I'm going to tell you what, there's some family members, the hedge is down. If you don't believe it, just look in their direction. It's down. Coming down upon people's lives because we have no time for God in our life anymore. Do I need to tell you any more about our nation? Our nation, reason it's lasted this long, Judo, Christian, culture, Bible, believing people in this country. When it wasn't a sin to pray to God. I have prayer in school and the Ten Commandments and Bible reading. But we have allowed this and turned our back on God. Until now, we have no protection. It was not because of the power of this country that we have won the wars of this country. Because the protecting hedge of God through prayer has protected this country to where it is right now today. But the hedge is down. And I'm not scared of a foreign country. Foreign country don't worry me. Nuclear bombs. You know what our biggest problem is? Forgetting God in our country. Forgetting God in our country. Now we are a country now, it's turned our back. Our ex-president turned his back on the nation of Israel, the first man in the history of this country. Slipped in new end resolution against the nation of Israel. I'm going to speak about this. Of taking back the city of Jerusalem from the Jews. This ex-president, which is, y'all know what he was and what he is. Jerusalem is a center of the world. The most valuable real estate upon the face of this earth. Not Washington, D.C., not Moscow, not China, of the cities around the world. Jerusalem is the most valuable city on the face of this earth. Made a new end resolution which all nations in this United States, through that president, turned their back on the nation of Israel and draw that line to take it away. Good thing that he's out of office because we got somebody now who's with Israel. But it don't matter if all the nations of the world is against Israel, and they will be one day, including this country. But I'll tell you what, they got somebody on their side. His name is Jehovah God. And they'll never give up Jerusalem again. Never. The majority of people in this country are going to be in a nation of Israel against them if they want to. And whatever president's against them. And all the United Nations ain't nothing but a bunch of God haters to start with in the nations. But God says, I'm coming back. That's the place I'm coming to. And whenever Daniel was told, open his window towards Jerusalem, you know why? That he opened his window towards Jerusalem because in the Bible, in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, he said, if any time that my people are carried away in the captivities, you pray towards Jerusalem. He was doing what the scripture said for him to do, is pray towards Jerusalem. You and I, we don't pray towards a land. We pray towards the Lord. Our blessing's not in a land. Our blessing's in the Lord. As we pray towards the Lord Jesus Christ on the right hand of the Father when we open our windows. Do you know Jesus Christ today? What tribe of the line are you going with? Tribe of the line of Judah or that old tribe of old Satan himself? You got a choice what you want to choose. You know without a shadow of a doubt if something happened to you right now that you go to a place called heaven? Do you know for sure that you go to heaven right now? Have you chose this line of the tribe of Judah to deliver you? Because he delivered Daniel and he'll deliver you. But it's your choice. Keep going like you're going, or you can make a change. 3 times a day, he prayed. What if someone caught us praying 3 times a day? What if they caught you praying 3 times a day? What a mess it would be. What if they caught you coming to church 3 times a week? That'd be enough to be put in jail for. 3 times a day, we need to be praying. We're going to come for a song of invitation. God has spoken to your heart. Are you really doing what God has called you to do? Are you living the way that God wants you to live? Are you really living in the will of God? Just simple ABCs. You see, it's not important. One of these days, you might live long enough. Doctors done all they can for you. Medicine won't do any good. There you're in a little room by yourself. Your family exhausted and can't stay with you any longer. You're going to need somebody. And I guarantee you, you sitting here this morning, and what you don't think is important to you because you're not planning on doing what God tells you to do, that's not important to you now. But I can assure you one of those days, what's not important to you now, when you don't have anything else, when your family's gone, your health is gone, I'll tell you what will be important to you. The very thing that's not important to you now, and that's Jesus Christ and his promise. Although you might forsake me and don't show up and don't care about the things of God for me, but you know what it says, that Jesus Christ is faithful. And he says, you know, although you have not served me like you should, but I will never leave you. And I will never forsake you. I'll see you through this den of lions. And you know, and I know right now, that that's going to happen to every one of us one of these days. May not be important to you now, but one of these days it will be important to you. Because you're going to need him. You need him now, but you just don't realize how much you do need him. But you will need him. He's the only one can help you. He's the only one can help you. As we stand and sing the song of God has spoken to your heart.